morning. It's one thing to have information about a person. It's another thing to know the person. And I think for many of us, we feel like we have information about God, and we have a personal relationship with God, and the same with Jesus. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's good to have information about the Holy Spirit. And I have been asking for forgiveness since I started preaching this series on the Holy Spirit, because we have information about the Holy Spirit. But I can honestly say that in my 62 years of living and 40 years of preaching, I really haven't had an in-depth relationship with the Holy Spirit. How about you? And what we're trying to do in this series is not just to gain more information about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works in our lives and works in the world, and the implications of all of that, but really getting to know who the Holy Spirit is and uncovering new truths that just encourage us along the way. So we're grateful that you're with us today. We're really happy to have you here. As you can tell, there are a lot of empty pews. So many people are away on vacation and holidays, and we're glad that they are getting the break. But I'm very appreciative that you're with us today, and I hope that we can say some things this morning that will be helpful. I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but the Bible begins and concludes in the same way. Genesis chapter 1, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit, and at the conclusion of the Bible in Revelation, we are said goodbye by the Holy Spirit. Say, I will see you soon. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, which in my mind is symbolism for ready for action, ready to things to take place. And what we've noticed in this series all throughout is that the Holy Spirit creates, renews, revives, and restores. And the water analogy is that of refreshing and washing and renewal and rebirth. And then in Revelation, at the conclusion, it says, the Holy Spirit and the bride, meaning the church, say, come. It's an invitation for all. And let all those who are thirsty come, accept that invitation. And let all those who wish take the free gift of the water of life. So the Bible begins with the Holy Spirit and water. The Bible concludes with the Holy Spirit and water. And the Holy Spirit is continually washing us, reviving us, restoring us, and bringing us comfort. So I want to do something old-fashioned today. I'd like you to take a Bible in your hands, and we're going to look in John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, and then we'll look at one other book following that. A brief sermon today, just talking about God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we see this in John chapter 3 with a man that the story, I'm sure, is very well known to many of us. Jesus is in a relationship or learning to be in a relationship with a man called Nicodemus. And even though John doesn't record all of Nicodemus's life, this greeting and this conversation, really in regard to the Holy Spirit, is teaching Nicodemus. Nicodemus's life is changed forever. That when Jesus is crucified and Jesus is buried, it's Nicodemus who goes to spend time with all those. So there are people who are introduced by Jesus. We don't always know what happens afterward, but we know that Nicodemus begins to become a follower. But here is Jesus teaching Nicodemus about God's Holy Spirit. Now, what's also interesting about this is this. If I were to ask you, what is probably the most quoted scripture in all of the Bible? I think that most of us would say John 3:16. John 3:16 comes on the heels of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit. And after he teaches Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit, He then goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But Jesus begins the discussion talking about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comforts us and motivates us to become Christians. Now, later we're going to look at this as the series goes, but Paul's emphatic. Paul is absolutely emphatic. No one can say Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who's always nudging us toward God. And so here's a man who knows nothing of God's Holy Spirit. And so Jesus has this discussion. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus said, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again, without having a brand new life. How can anyone be born when they're old? Nicodemus said, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Now, we have often, at least I was taught this, in verse 5, where it says, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit, that some people have taught that's our baptism, that we're baptized in water, we receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not arguing with that, but that's not the context here. The context is the physical and the spiritual. That when a baby is born, all of us born, there's a lot of water. It's a physical nature. And then there's a spirit that we may have known nothing about. In fact, Paul talks about this at length, where it says the Holy Spirit testifies with our own spirit that we are God's children. There's more to our faith than just us. There's more to our making decisions to accept Christ than just us. That it's God's Holy Spirit who knew us before we were born, who were with us when we were physically born, and who has been whispering to our own spirit all throughout our life. We may just have not known that. Never been a moment in our life where God's Spirit hasn't been with us. And when we die, God's Spirit is with us, and we'll look at that in just a little while as well. And so this man, who is a very religious man, but not necessarily a spiritual man, maybe followed the old law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, but really knew nothing about this relationship. So Jesus is making it clear. You shouldn't be surprised, he says, at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is for everyone born of the Spirit. Explain our spiritual life. Go ahead and explain to someone your spiritual life. And we often want to take the spiritual and make it physical. Well, my spiritual life is, I pray, I. But the spiritual life is, my spiritual life is God's Holy Spirit helping me to know God better, helping me to reach across to one another. It's not just by chance or choice that when Paul concludes his letters to the church at Corinth, that he says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship with God's Holy Spirit be with you all. And he begins the letter in 1 Corinthians talking about the church that is everywhere, and that's God's Spirit who is continually pouring himself into the lives of us individuals and the entire church. And so he's saying to this man, there's more to you, Nicodemus. There's always been more to you than you. And it's the same with us. Let's go further. Let's go to John chapter 4 for just a moment. And here's this Samaritan woman. Now, you notice in the Gospel of John that John's talking about one person to another, to another, to another, to another. That's John's intent. John says, I write these things to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you may know that you have eternal life, but not just to a Jewish person or not just to a Gentile person. This gospel is for all people. And John is really good in saying, here's a religious person. And now we're going to talk about a Samaritan woman who has conflict with the Jewish religion and Jewish traditions and their religion. And here's what he says to her. It's a beautiful passage in John chapter 4. I want to start reading in verse 7 and go to verse 14. Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? So I'll just stop. So Jesus is with his disciples and they're around a well. And the disciples go off for a while. And here comes this Samaritan woman and they're having this dialogue, Jesus and herself. And the Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Now, here comes the problem. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus asked her, if you knew the gift of God, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you give me this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from himself and did also his sons and flocks and herds? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him, the Holy Spirit, will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will come to them in a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We can drink water to sustain our physical parchedness, but we can drink the Holy Spirit of God by being aware of the Spirit's work in our lives, reminding us that there's more to us than us, that life is in the hands of God. He chose us to live our lives individually, blessing the world, loving the people we love, reaching out to the world with Jesus Christ, knowing that even when we get older or whatever happens and we physically die, that we'll be with the Lord. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And if the Holy Spirit of God is living in you, you too will be raised from the dead. It's this beautiful description of a washing, of a regeneration, of a cleansing, of renewing that's ongoing in our life. And Jesus doesn't just leave this alone. If you want to go with me in John, go to John chapter 7, if you will. And here's this beautiful passage of scripture, John 7, 37 through 39. In John chapter 7, 37 through 39, Jesus is at a feast, and then he waits until the last day of the feast where everyone is gathered, and he says, on the last day and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a very loud voice. I'm just going to stop. If you would, use your imagination and think of hundreds, maybe thousands of people coming from all over the world celebrating belonging to Israel, and on the last day of the feast, and there have been rumors about this man. In fact, earlier in John chapter 7, the temple guards were commanded to go and arrest Jesus and bring him back because he was causing a controversy. And they came back empty-handed. And so they asked the temple guards, why didn't you bring him in? And their answer was, no one ever talked the way this man talked. We've never heard anyone speak the way this man spoke. amazing. And so he waits until the last day of the feast, and then he says these words. I want to just think about this for a moment. If it was the last day of the feast, and you could put yourself in the shoes of Jesus, and it's getting closer and closer and closer to the time when he's going to be arrested and he knows he's going to die, would you have said what he said? Wouldn't you maybe have said, listen, I'm the Son of God. You need to trust me and believe in me. You need to know that there's a God in heaven, and it's through me that you have eternal life. You need to grab this. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He again encourages us to know about God's Holy Spirit. Here's what he says. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Have you ever been spiritually thirsty? "Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. Meaning that when Jesus dies and is buried and returns to the Father, we're not left orphans. The Holy Spirit is real and alive and present with us. And as Jesus was alive physically for those 3 years of ministry, he leaves, but the Holy Spirit doesn't leave. The Holy Spirit, who is with Jesus always, even from the very beginning, is still here, motivating us, encouraging us. So the Holy Spirit is not just a visitor. And I think I've confessed this to you. In fact, this morning, I was feeling, I think, ashamed. And just talking to God on the way down, coming down the hill in Beamsville, thinking, God, I'm 62 years old. Holy Spirit, I've been preaching for 40 years, and I've ignored you because there's been controversy, and so I've ignored you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine ignoring the Holy Spirit, who is in us, who knew us before we were born, who will be with us when we die, who'll be raising us from the dead, who'll be with us eternally? And it's God's Spirit who even allowed us to be Christians. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by God's Holy Spirit. We make the decision, but I think we also need to give the credit to the Holy Spirit, who encourages us to say yes to God and to enjoy the fellowship with one another. He lives in us. These scriptures that we've talked about earlier, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own, you're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So in our congregation, you know, and all our people when they're here, from our youngest baby to our oldest member of church to all of us in between, God's Holy Spirit is available and indwells all of us. And later in the series, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit indwells the entire church as well. And so the Holy Spirit is always reminding us. I love this scripture in John 3. You yourselves are God's temple, and God's Holy Spirit lives in you. And then Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. And again, in my embarrassment, so many times at someone's passing and we have a funeral celebration, there are various scriptures that we can use, and I hope that they're helpful. But this one I've ignored. No longer. I will not ignore this passage. Romans 8, 11. "And if the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead," and the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. So I want to stop. I really didn't know that. I remember going to Camp Homa when I was a teenager. Maybe you had this experience. And we're trying to encourage, especially teens, to become Christians. And we tell the story of Jesus' life, death, burial, and then resurrection. Nowhere was the Holy Spirit ever mentioned. But when Jesus died and he's buried, he's put in this tomb. Can't you just see the Holy Spirit in there? With Jesus? You're not dead. You're alive. You've always been alive. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and if the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, we just read the Holy Spirit is living in us. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, the Holy Spirit? And if the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies because of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So Paul keeps repeating himself, the Holy Spirit lives in us, lives in us, lives in us. And I don't know about you, but I need that reminder. Because new tapes are good to listen to every once in a while, but the old tapes always want to take over. And the old tapes, at least in my life, was ignoring God's Holy Spirit. No more. It's God's Holy Spirit who comforts, who motivates, who encourages us with faith. Then the last scripture, and if you have a Bible, you may want to turn to this. This is Titus chapter 3, one of the great chapters, I think, in all the Bible. And it's a reminder, without Titus, or Paul rather, writing to Titus at a very difficult church situation, that's what the whole book of Titus is all about. Paul encouraging Titus to be a good evangelist in this church that had lots of difficulties and lots of conflicts, and remind them that they can be revived, restored, renewed, and refreshed, just like all of us. In Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3 and going through to verse 7. And I don't know about you, but maybe you can put yourself in the shoes of this church that we're going to read. Or maybe you found yourself individually here at one time or another. And maybe this is motivation for all of us as a reminder of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. Here's what he says. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of our Lord and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. What does it say next? Not by us, but by the Holy Spirit. He changed our life by the Holy Spirit. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. It really is an amazing passage of scripture to notice the work of God's Holy Spirit. I conclude with this. Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. I don't think there is any higher position that anyone could ever experience than what you and I can experience. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are heirs of God, and we are co-heirs with Christ. That blows me away. Everything that Jesus receives, we do too. And it's all because of God's grace. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, today and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.